The Baptism of Paul. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. It would have been wholly unnecessary that Paul should arise to have water sprinkled or poured on him, but indispensable to his being immersed, as he could not go to a place suited to immersion without arising, while water could just as easily have been sprinkled or poured upon him while lying, sitting, or in any other position as standing without the necessity of arising. Hence, the fact that he was told to arise raises a presumption that he was immersed. And this presumption is made a certainty by his own declaration that he was buried with Christ by baptism. Romans 6 and verse 4. Baptism of the Israelites. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2. That the baptism of the Israelites unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea was in some sense typical of our baptism into Christ is very generally admitted, as we will have occasion to introduce proof of this when we come to look for the design of baptism. We will not introduce it here. In what sense are we to understand baptism in this passage? In a literal or a figurative sense? If in a literal sense the baptism consisted in specific action, as we have seen that the word primarily and literally indicates specific action, was there specific action in this baptism? If so, what was it? The Israelites were not dipped in the cloud and in the sea, nor were they sprinkled or poured in the cloud and in the sea. Hence, the specific act of dipping, sprinkling, or pouring was not in this baptism. Therefore, we conclude that the baptism was figurative, not literal. As figures are based upon facts and must resemble them, we may expect this figurative baptism in some way to resemble the literal one. The word baptizo is sometimes used metonymically, that is, the result reached by the specific action indicated by the term is put for the act itself. In such cases, the result must be such as to resemble that produced by the specific act. The specific act indicated by baptizo being dipping or immersion, the result must always be such as to resemble that produced by dipping or immersion, namely, overwhelming or burial. These things premised, we are now prepared to read an account of this baptism recorded in Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 through 31, the 16th verse of which says to Moses, "Lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Again, verses 19 through 22. "And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Thus we see what Paul meant when he said they were under the cloud and passed through the sea. And as he understood baptism to be a burial, Romans 6 and verse 4, Colossians 2 and verse 12, it is not strange that he should call the passage of the Israelites through the sea and under the cloud a baptism, for truly they were buried, the sea being a wall on their right hand and on their left, and the cloud over and behind them. But we are told that the Israelites were baptized by spray blown from the sea in this passage. When we remember that the hosts of Israel numbered 600,000 men besides women and children, and that they all passed through the sea in a single night, taking everything possessed by them, it will be seen that an opening several miles in width must have been required for their passage. And as wind could blow spray but in one direction, and as it would fall much thicker and heavier on the side next to its source, it must have deluged those on one side in order to have reached those on the other side at all. And yet we are told that all passed on dry ground. But worse still, the sacred historian tells us that the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Exodus 15 and verse 8. Now, it occurs to us that such a wind as would have blown congealed water in a spray upon the Israelites would have blown them to the promised land before the time, or lifted them over the sea without passing through it at all. But it is said that the psalmist comes to the aid of the objector, saying, "The cloud poured out water." Psalm 77, verse 17. But it will be observed that clouds, in the plural, poured out water, while it was a cloud in the singular which covered the Israelites, and was a cloud of fire and not of water. But the psalmist is quoted again. "The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved with the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance." Psalm 68, verses 8 and 9. Truly, this quotation speaks of rain, but it was that which fell on the Israelites when at the base of Sinai, and not when passing through the sea. If we could have David's description of their delivery and how they obtained water to drink, we have it briefly stated in the following words. "He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers." Psalm 73, verses 13 through 16. Thus we see that David confirms rather than conflicts with the statement of Paul and Moses. Moses Stuart says, "They went through the sea on dry ground. Yet they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. The reason and ground of such an expression must be, so far as I can discern, a surrounding of the Israelites on different sides by the cloud and by the sea, although neither the cloud nor the sea touched them. It is, therefore, a kind of figurative mode of expression, derived from the idea that baptizing is surrounding with a fluid. But whether this be by immersion, effusion, suffusion, or washing would not seem to be decided. The suggestion has sometimes been made that the Israelites were sprinkled by the cloud and by the sea, and this was the baptism which Paul meant to designate. But the cloud on this occasion was not a cloud of rain, nor do we find any intimation that the waters of the Red Sea sprinkled the children of Israel at this time. So much is true, namely, that they were not immersed. Yet, as the language must evidently be figurative in some good degree and not literal, I do not see how, on the whole, we can make less of it than to suppose that it has a tacit reference to the idea of surrounding in some way or other. Stuart, On Baptism, page 113. This is a candid admission from one writing confessedly in the interest of sprinkling and pouring. Indeed, it is just the truth. No one ever supposed that the Israelites were immersed or dipped, but they were surrounded by the cloud and sea, suggestive of Paul's idea that baptism is a burial. Baptism of Suffering. But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." Matthew 20, verses 22 and 23. But Jesus said unto them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "We can." And Jesus said unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized." Mark 10, verses 38 and 39. "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Luke 12 and verse 50. Upon these passages, eminent critics have written as follows. Witsius. Immersion into water is to be considered as exhibiting the dreadful abyss of divine justice in which Christ for our sins was for a time, as it were, absorbed. As in David, his type, he complains, Psalm 69, verse 2, I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Bailey's Manual, page 232. Doddridge's Family Expositor. Are ye able to drink the bitter cup of which I am about to drink so deep, and be baptized with the baptism, and plunged into that sea of sufferings with which I am shortly to be baptized, and, as it were, overwhelmed for a time? I have indeed a most dreadful baptism to be baptized with, and I know that I shall shortly be bathed, as it were, in blood, and plunged in the most overwhelming distress. Hervey. He was baptized with the baptism of sufferings, bathed in blood, and plunged in death. Bailey's Manual, page 235. Sir H. Trelawney. Here, I must acknowledge, our Baptist brethren have the advantage. For our Redeemer's sufferings must not be compared to a few drops of water sprinkled on the face. For he was plunged into distress and environed with sorrows. Ibid. Bailey's Manual. Bloomfield's Greek Text. This metaphor of immersion in water, as expressive of being overwhelmed by affliction, is frequent, both in the Scriptures and in classical writers. Volume 1, page 97. Wesley's Notes, page 123. Our Lord was filled with sufferings within and covered with them without. Professor Stewart. I have a baptism to be baptized with, that is, I am about to be overwhelmed with sufferings, and I am greatly distressed with the prospect of them. Can ye indeed take upon you to undergo patiently and submissively sufferings like mine, sufferings of an overwhelming and dreadful nature? Stewart on Baptism, page 72. The awful sufferings of Jesus may well be called a baptism, for truly he was overwhelmed in them. Will the reader follow him to the Garden of Gethsemane and see him, as it were, sweating great drops of blood, and say that such agony was in an anticipation of a little sprinkle of suffering? Shall we enter the judgment hall of Pilate and see him clothed with a mock robe and crown of thorns and still say this was a little sprinkle of insult and injury? Shall we stand upon the summit of Calvary and see the rusty nails sent hissing through his quivering flesh as he is made fast to the cross, and say this is yet only a sprinkle of suffering? Shall we stand by the cross on which he is suspended for 3 long hours, suffering all the horrors of a malefactor's death, derided by enemies, forsaken by friends, and for a time even forsaken by his God, and still say this is all a mere sprinkle of sufferings? Is not such a thought monstrously impious? Yet it is involved in the idea that sprinkling or pouring is baptism. We will not dignify it by a further examination in connection with the sufferings of our blessed Lord. Arguments for sprinkling and pouring considered. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 3 and verse 11. This was a prophetic declaration made by John the Baptist. And before we proceed to look for its fulfillment, it may be well for us to remark that the preposition with, which occurs 3 times in this passage, is from the Greek preposition en, the primary meaning of which is in, and should be so rendered here, unless good reasons, which we are not able to see, be shown for its removal. Thus translated, the passage reads, I indeed baptize you in water, he shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and in fire. On the day of Pentecost, this remarkable prediction was fulfilled as to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, an account of which we have as follows. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. As we have elsewhere remarked, there was here an absolute impact of the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. They being filled with the Spirit, it follows that their spirits were overwhelmed or immersed in the Holy Spirit. But was this a baptism of the Holy Ghost? On subsequent occasion, Peter said, "As I began to speak at the house of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized in water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost." Acts 11, verses 15 and 16. This shows that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost and at the house of Cornelius. But we are told that as the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that the pouring was the baptism. If this is true, it was the Spirit that was poured, and consequently it was the Spirit that was baptized, and not the people. That this is a figurative use of the term baptizo is very generally admitted by the learned. In Dr. Robinson's Greek Lexicon of the New Testament, page 126, he says, "Metaphorically and in direct allusion to the sacred rite, baptize in pneumati hagiokaipiri, to baptize in the Holy Ghost and in fire, to overwhelm, richly furnish with all spiritual gifts, or overwhelm with fire unquenchable," Matthew 3, verse 11, etc. Cyril, Bishop of Jerusalem, A.D. 350, says, "As he who is plunged in the water and baptized is encompassed by the water on every side, so they that are baptized by the Holy Spirit are also wholly covered over." Bailey's Manual, page 222. Substantially the same, Stuart on Baptism, page 148. Professor Stuart on Baptism, page 74, says, "The basis of this usage is very plainly to be found in the designation by baptizo and the idea of overwhelming, that is, of surrounding on all sides with a fluid." Gert Lerus, "Baptism in the Holy Spirit is immersion into the pure waters of the Holy Spirit, or a rich and abundant communication of his gifts. For he on whom the Holy Spirit is poured out is, as it were, immersed unto him." Campbell and Rice Debate, page 222. Bishop Reynolds, "The Spirit under the gospel is compared to water, and that not a little measure to sprinkle or bedew, but to baptize the faithful in," Matthew 3:11, Acts 1:5, "and that not in a font or vessel, which grows less and less, but in a spring or living water," Ut Supra. Ikenios, "The Greek word baptismos denotes the immersion of a thing or person into something. Here also, Matthew 3:11, compared with Luke 3:16, the baptism of fire, or that which is performed in fire, must signify, according to the same simplicity of the letter, an emission or immersion into fire. And this the rather because here to baptize in the Spirit and in fire are not only connected but also opposed to being baptized in water." Ibid. Leclerc, "He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. As I plunge you in water, he shall plunge you, so to speak, in the Holy Spirit." Casaubon, "To baptize is to immerse, and in this sense the apostles are truly said to be baptized. For the house in which this was done was filled with the Holy Ghost, so that the apostles seemed to be plunged into it as into a fish pool." Ut Supra. Grotius, "To be baptized here is not to be slightly sprinkled, but to have the Holy Spirit abundantly poured upon them." Ibid. Mr. Lay, "Baptism, that is, drown you all over, dip you into the ocean of his grace, opposite to the sprinkling which was in the law." Ut Supra. Archbishop Tillotson, "It," the sound from heaven, Acts 2, "filled all the house. This is that which our Savior calls baptizing with the Holy Ghost. So that they who sat in the house were, as it were, immersed in the Holy Ghost, as they who were buried with water were overwhelmed and covered all over with water, which is the proper notion of baptism." Ibid. Bishop Hopkins, Those that are baptized with the Spirit are, as it were, plunged into that heavenly flame whose searching energy devours all their dross, tin, and base alloy, ut supra. Mr. H. Dodwell, the words of our Savior were made good. Ye shall be baptized, plunged or covered with the Holy Spirit, as John baptized with water without it. Ibid. Theophylact, commenting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, says, that is, he shall inundate you abundantly with the gifts of the Spirit. Bailey's Manual, page 223. These authors all concur in the fact that the word baptizo, when applied to the Holy Spirit, indicates an overwhelming in spirit, drawn from the result reached by the primary meaning of the word. Hence, the overwhelming was the baptism, and not the outpouring. And if the spiritual or inner man was baptized in the Holy Spirit, as they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, we may well see why this was called a baptism or overwhelming of the human spirit in the Holy Spirit.